Yeah, here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Before You Bet, airing live right now on the Covers YouTube and Action Channels. We got a great big show today. A lot to discuss, a lot to bet on, both the NBA and in Major League Baseball. If you want to participate in the show, it's very easy to do so. Hit up the live chat in YouTube and over on X. Let us know what some of your best bets are for the day, for the night in the NBA, in Major League Baseball. Beautiful looking board. And both here tonight, Nick Newport Jr. in the live chat saying, let's get it, y'all. There we go. That's the enthusiasm we like around here. Okay. Like I said, a lot to get into, so let's not waste any time. Let's bring in our guy, John Mettler, a.k.a. The Ass Man. John, how are we making out?
Could be better. The Minnesota Timberwolves are me and Doug Farmer. They're letting both of us down, but I think they'll win game six at home, and game seven could be a fun one. So,
We all bit on it. Most people did. I didn't see a whole lot of people out there saying to a few people, maybe, but not a whole lot of people are saying, oh, Nuggets down 2-0 in the series. Jump on them now. I didn't see a lot of people putting that out there, but it is funny to look back on the Anthony Edwards, Michael Jordan comparisons, and the face of basketball is changing as we know it. Pump the brakes. Let's settle down here. Okay, so a lot to get into. Let's start with the Knicks. And all of a sudden, talk about a crazy momentum shift. It's all of a sudden, it is the Knicks series to lose. Probably the best game they played in the playoffs there last night. Looked absolutely fantastic. A 30-point win. Now, I think the most encouraging part of that win from the Knicks was solid contributions from Achiuwa and Burks, who each played 23 minutes. Josh Hart only needed to play 39 minutes in that game. DiVincenzo was only needed for 30 minutes in that game. Of course, Brunson dropped 44. Halliburton really let Indiana down. Just not really a participant in the offense, at least, especially in the first half. He only scored 13 points on 9 total attempts in the game. Now, it's hard not to like the Knicks all of a sudden to close things out. Everything is pointing in their direction, their best game of the playoffs. Now they have 2 days off to rest even more before game six in Indiana on Friday. OG Anunoby, Terry Hayes returned to the East Finals here. So I don't know. You got to like our Knicks here, right, John?
I like the Knicks, but I think this might go seven. The Pacers at home have been money. Like you said, you took the words right out of my mouth. The Knicks coaching staff and their players, like Alec Burks, Precious Achiuwa, Miles McBride, like these guys haven't seen, they go from like 0 minutes to all of a sudden like playing a big role, and they're delivering, like they're helping them out. Like Alec Burks in the corner from 3-point shooting last night was awesome. Even Miles McBride, I like the switch to Miles McBride in the starting lineup against the Pacers at least. And like you said, Precious Achiuwa too. I was kicking the tires so hard yesterday on Precious Achiuwa. His assist total was a half. I think it was -125. And I was like, he had zero assists like multiple games in a row, but he was averaging about 3 or 4 potential assists in those games, which you're like half. You should get, you know, 3 or 4 potential assists half. I didn't do it because I was like, Tom Thibodeau scares me so much where you just go from 20 minutes to zero. And I was like, I didn't know if you'd fade him. I was like, if we get 20 minutes, I like the bet, but I didn't do it. With you, I want Knicks Celtics from a betting standpoint and just from like an overall everything standpoint. I think it'll be an absolute fire series. We'll get to see Stephon Marbury play defense on the baseline some more. So Madison Square Garden's on fire. All the Knicks guys, even like they're all Mellow. Everyone's there every game, eh? It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it's been a home court series. I've been going back and forth, you know, depending on where the momentum is. But I absolutely like the Knicks +5 here on Friday. I think the extra day break is going to be massive for them. So we'll see. We'll see what I know the point totals are up already, but I know Halliburton had a really bad game offensively in game one. Then he bounced back nicely in game two. Don't be surprised to see that pattern continue into game six here in Indiana. Okay. We touched on the T-Wolves Nuggets off the top. Let's touch on them again, and let's talk Nikola Jokic. What a game by him. He dropped 40 points, 13 assists, and 7 rebounds. Now, it's funny, John, that most casual fans don't realize that we are witnessing an all-time great player who is right in the thick of his prime here at 29 years old. And I was thinking about this this morning. You know, I watched the highlights. It was game was on super late last night. You see the stat line. Why do you think that Jokic, who is an all-time great already, right in the thick of his prime, but why do you think Jokic is not held in the same regard as the LeBrons, KDs, and Steph Currys of the world? Do you think it's the position he plays, the fact that he's not an American, the way that he kind of carries himself off the court? Is John there?
John lost power.
Hold on. John lost power. Okay, I guess it's up to me to carry the show here until John gets back. So yeah, that's just one observation that I did have on Jokic. He is an incredible player. Never count this guy out. We have learned our lesson. Just went off last night. But yeah, I do find it unusual that this is a three-time MVP, ladies and gentlemen. He's not even 30 years old, for God's sake. So good for Jokic. Good to see. Yeah, so I think that they're going to be tough to beat the rest of the way. And what else is going on in the NBA world? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Bronny James is back in the news. And Bronny James is going to be in the news for many years to come. And if you don't like the coverage on Bronny James, you quite simply have got to get over it. Because this is a very interesting story. Bronny James trying to follow in the footsteps of his old man. He's not going to be able to follow in those footsteps. But his effort to get into the NBA and have a career in the NBA, it's going to be very interesting to see how this unfolds. Now, there's a lot of haters out there for Bronny James, but me and this show, we are firmly in the corner of Bronny James, and we do wish him success on his path here to become a professional basketball player. And if you are a Bronny James hater, I think quite simply, you're a loser. It's as simple as that. People should take advantage of the privileges they have in life to get ahead. And you're telling me if your dad wasn't a super influential person in your chosen career path, that you wouldn't try to leverage that in any way? You absolutely would. So, yeah, we saw him yesterday, highlights of a scrimmage that he played in, had a nice little floater there, 4 points and four rebounds. Yeah. Maybe not all that great of a player, but we shall see. He was in a weird situation last year at USC. Of course, he had a heart attack or a cardiac arrest. I don't know if that qualifies as a heart attack. And yeah, the situation at USC, he was playing out of position. But yeah, we wish him luck. Okay, no John yet. He's lost power. I don't know what's going on out there. Nick Newport Jr. weighing in my opinion, Jokic is a combo of being European born and away from the court. He's a pretty normal ass dude, which I think actually hurts him. Yeah, Jokic, I don't think he's a guy that has much of a presence on social media. You definitely don't see him out there flaunting his wealth or anything like that. So yeah, maybe not catching on with today's youth here in 2024. Okay, so we'll see if Mettler can get connected. But until he does, I'll get into my picks here for tonight. We'll do NBA, Major League Baseball. By the time I wrap them up, maybe John will be back with us and we can rip through his picks as well. So let's start with this Celtics-Cavaliers game. Let's just put this series out of its misery. No Donovan Mitchell here tonight. Is John back with us? I heard someone just, there he is. Okay, John's back with us. Okay, let me get into this pick here, John. Then we'll tee you up. Thrown off a little bit here off the top, but John is back for what matters here. The picks of the night here. Okay, so I'm going to go with Al Horford under 18.5 points, rebounds, and assists, minus 130. Bet this one over at DraftKings. So Horford, he's only averaging 14.1 points, rebounds, and assists in this series so far. His shooting's been awful in the series, 34.4%. And this is nothing new because the Cavs have been pretty good at limiting him all season. He didn't score more than 7 points in a game against them in three regular season games. And of course, we have blowout potential that could really limit his minutes in this game. What's the spread up to now? 15.5 points. It was 14.5 before Mitchell was officially announced as out. But we did see in the Heat series, which had plenty of blowouts, he didn't even reach 25 minutes in three of those games. So I think there's a potential for a blowout and potentially The starters won't be on the court here much in the second half, so we'll take Horford under PRA. Miller, what's going on over there? Your power went out?
Yeah, it went out for like 10 seconds and came back on, but it kicked all the Wi-Fi out and stuff and booted me out, so I had to reboot everything.
Our man is back. All right, let's get into it here. Your first pick of the show. At the tail end here, I'll get your opinion on a couple of topics that I spit out off the top, though. Sam Hauser, what do you like for him tonight?
So I'm going Sam Hauser over 3.5 points. It was plus 142 at FanDuel. He's bouncing around. There's plus 130, bet 365. I personally bet plus 120 at bet 365. So you shop around, you might be able to find a better number. I think the plus 142 is gone now. It kind of keeps moving on us here. But to me, this is just extremely, you just kind of mentioned it with Al Horford, this is an extremely dangerous game from a player props perspective, just because one, the Celtics, they're up to, it was 15.5, I think it's 16 now. We kind of got word on Donovan Mitchell that he's not going to play. Caris LeVert also might be out. Jared Allen, I mean, at this point, do you even bring him back? You're down 3-1, you're a 16-point underdog on the road. It's just one of those things where I feel like this could be, like, they might already have their flight booked to Cancun. This could be a complete blowout type thing. So I'm going after a prop here where I feel like I'm okay either way, because Sam Hauser, we need about 11 minutes from him to show a nice edge on this prop. And he can get 11 minutes in a normal game for the Celtics. If this is within a 10-point game, he might see 10, 11 minutes type thing. If this is a blowout, those minutes could be much higher than 11 minutes for Sam Hauser. You'll see more Peyton Pritchard minutes, more Sam Hauser minutes if this game does get out of control. 3.5, you know, Sam Hauser is a shooter. When you're up, like in a basketball game, when you're up by 15, 20 points and you're playing at home and there's way less pressure on your shooting, those three-pointers tend to fall a lot easier than when you're in a tied game, or even when you're struggling, or if you're down 10 points, you know, people kind of get afraid to shoot and you keep missing and stuff. When you're up by a lot and you come in, and he'll probably come into a game when they are up by quite a bit, those shots start to fall a lot easier. I'm going after Sam Hauser. I think there's a chance for elevated minutes, and I feel like it's a safer play. I don't know what we're going to get from the Cavaliers tonight. I feel like their best punch was last game without Donovan Mitchell. They gave it their best go. I don't know if they'll have it tonight. So it's kind of a scary one. So I want Sam Hauser over 3.5 points. Plus, I grabbed plus 120. You might be able to find a better number.
Okay, let's get into the main event of the night. I think this one should be more competitive. Mavericks versus Thunder in OKC. We each have a bet for PJ Washington. Get us started with yours.
So I'm going PJ Washington over 1.5 assists. Even money. I grabbed even money once again. It flipped up 365 to plus 105. Keeps kind of going back and forth here. You might be able to find plus 105 at bet 365. Just with the way the Thunder are guarding Luka Doncic and the way they're shading all the defense towards him, and then like even kind of towards Kyrie Irving, PJ Washington is the guy they're conceding 3-point shots to, and his usage is really high. I mean, it was 16% in the regular season. It's 21.1% in this playoff series against the Thunder. He's taking a ton of three-point attempts. Last three games, he's attempted at least 11 three-pointers. The thing is like when you go watch the film, like you check a box score, it's 11 three-pointers. When you go watch the film, he's open for even more three-pointers than that. But I mean, at some point, you just don't want to be a guy who chucks 15, 20 three-pointers. So you put the ball on the deck, you start driving because he's wide open. So there's also room for him to drive. And the one thing, if you go watch like game four, the last game there, you know, Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, they had a ton of assists on dunks to Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford. Like the Thunder aren't able to take away the pass over the top. And like, it is easy assist. Like Irving, I think had 4 or 5 assists on dunks. Those can be converted at a really high rate. You're not dependent on 3-point shooting. Those are there for PJ Washington too, if he wants them. And he should be like, they should be available for him. Once he puts the ball on the deck and he kind of draws some defense, you throw it over the top. It's just his minutes are high. His usage is high. You just need the potential assists to convert. Even I think game two, he only had 2 assists, but he had 8 potential assists. It's a massive number for someone trading at 1.5 even money. So I'm going PJ Washington over 1.5 assists. I bet even money.
Yeah, I'm going to take him a bit of a bonus bet here. We don't have a graphic for this one, but I like PJ Washington to once again go over his 3-point total of 2.5. It's minus 120. At bet 365, it's way up to minus 156 at FanDuel. So I don't like it at minus 156. I like it quite a bit, though, at minus 120. And I just think this is one that odds makers have been slow to react to. His last three games, 3-pointers made, 5, 5, and 7, double-digit attempts in all three games for Washington. So I like that pattern to continue and for him to have at least 3 3-pointers in this game. Okay, so for the spread for the game, I have a bet for this one. I like the Mavericks here, +4.5. There's some fours out there as well, but obviously you want to get the best in the number, 4.5. That was over at FanDuel. So they've been at their absolute best after a loss. Small sample size, but they're undefeated in the playoffs at 3-0 after a loss, with two of the wins coming by 19 points or more, including a 19-point win in this series. This is a pattern that goes back to the regular season, because it's been over 2 months since Luka has lost consecutive games. You'd have to go back to the start of March, since the Mavs lost back-to-back games when Luka is in the lineup. So they have this great pattern of bouncing back. And you look at game four, they lost by 4 points in that game, despite the fact that Luka and Kyrie combined for just 27 points. That's not happening tonight. So I expect good games out of them. I do expect good games from the Mavericks as a whole. PJ Washington to get a couple of assists and a couple of three-pointers. But let's talk the other side. We each have a bet for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Mettler, get us started.
Yeah, yours is a little more fun than mine, because I'm going under 31.5 points. I bet this at even money. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, honestly, I think, you know, you could do a segment where every night in the NBA playoffs, you take an under on a superstar player that you don't want to bet on, but it's showing an edge. So it's just, that's just how betting works. For, you know, SGA, he's gone over all four games in this series, which obviously is very scary if you're placing this bet. But, you know, his total started at 28.5. We're now up to 31.5. If you use the total 31.5 on all four of those games, he's only gone over twice. So you're, it's a different number. It changes the probability on everything. When you watch Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and how he's scoring, you know, there's absolutely nothing easy at the rim. Like, he's not driving and he's laying it in for easy layups. Like, he's playing the Hornets or someone like that. You know, everything is contested, and it's not even just the rim protection of like Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford. It's also like PJ Washington will meet you at the rim. Derek Jones Jr. what had some nice blocks the last game too. He'll meet you at the rim. The Mavericks have lots of rim protection, even just from their wing positions and their bigs. And it's forcing SGA. I mean, SGA is a mid-range, like, he has one of the best mid-range games in the entire NBA. But when you're talking about like a 31.5 and you're like dependent on that, it's just tough shots, in my opinion. So I do think, you know, this game also moves from Dallas to Oklahoma City. When you're on the road to NBA playoffs, you're down 2-1 in the series. You're going to be really dependent on your superstar to carry the offensive workload. Now you go home. The role player should help out a little more. You know, this total is 1 point higher at home than it was even on the road. I just feel like they shouldn't be as dependent on SGA in this game. And even, you know, we had a minutes projection, I think 43 minutes, and he's still showing an edge to the under. He hasn't even broke 43 minutes, and he's played 42, which is really close. But, you know, even at 43, you're still showing an edge to the under. I just don't see how you don't play the under. So, I mean, it might be 30. That's just how SGA plays and stuff. But at 31.5, I'm going under.
Okay, so under on SGA points, but I think over on SGA rebounds. Number set at 7.5. I like the over at -111. So he's been very active on the glass here in the playoffs, with 8 or more rebounds in 5 straight games. Did double-digit rebounds 3 times in this span. He's actually second on the team with 16 rebound chances per game in this series. And this series has been Brick City for both offenses, so I do expect plenty of rebound opportunities to be there. So in the conference semifinals, these teams rank last and second to last in field goal percentage. So neither offense exactly lights out. So expect SGA to stuff that stat sheet, especially in the rebounding department, but maybe not so much in the points department. Okay, Mettler, wrap up the NBA section here for us. Chet Holmgren, what do you like for him?
So I'm going Chet Holmgren over 2.5 assists, +150. This is really more related to Josh Giddey and his minutes and his role in the series. I think his minutes are over. I'll be shocked if he starts this game. He might start this game, play 5 minutes, and never come back in tonight's game. You know, he started last game, but coming out of halftime, they didn't start him. They started Isaiah Joe. And then even when they made that run in the fourth quarter, like, the Mavericks were in control of that game for like the majority of the game. They just lost it at the end. When the Thunder made that run, it was Cason Wallace was on the floor. What happens is, you know, when Giddy's on the floor, they're putting Daniel Gafford on Giddey, and they're putting PJ Washington on Chet Holmgren. So Daniel Gafford literally just isn't guarding Josh Giddey. He can just go wherever he wants on the three-point line. It doesn't matter, because Daniel Gafford is playing free safety near the rim, and it's taking away all those easy buckets at the rim for all the Thunder players. So You have the Thunder have to make an adjustment there. And the flip is, you know, you bring in Isaiah Joe, you bring in Cason Wallace, Aaron Wiggins. These guys are all good 3-point shooters. So when they bring in that lineup, Daniel Gafford moves to Chet Holmgren. So with Daniel Gafford and Chet Holmgren, now it becomes, you know, Chet Holmgren's responsibility, or like they should be running actions that where Chet Holmgren grabs the attention of Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively as well. They're like interchangeable. They're the same player. It's really cool. I like that they did that with, you know, the draft and the trade there, but it's Chet Holmgren. They should be running things where Chet Holmgren is grabbing his attention and pulling Gafford away from the rim. It should put the ball in Holmgren's hands. And then also when Holmgren makes the pass, if he has Gafford's attention, those are kind of more high value potential assists because he's pulling Gafford away, which opens up, you know, easier shots at the rim for whoever he's passing to. I just think you'll see more flow through Holmgren and more of him trying to set up his teammates because he's going to be trying to pull away that rim protection. And it kind of starts with Josh Giddey just not playing. So I'm going Chet Holmgren over 2.5 assists plus 150. It is a big plus price. It's not expected to win at a high rate or anything, but it is a good price at plus 150. So,
okay, there you have it. An avalanche of picks for the two NBA games tonight. Before we get into Major League Baseball, guys, if you are watching live right now on YouTube or X, hit up that live chat. Let us know what you're betting on tonight. Also, let us know where you are watching from. Anyone watching from outside the U.S. or Canada, let us know. We are an international sports betting program, and we are proud of that. Okay, let's get into Major League Baseball here. A handful of pitcher props for you guys. Let's start things off with Ranger Suarez breakout season for the Phillies. Going to take under 5.5 hits allowed. He is taking on the Mets tonight. So he's 6-2 against this number this season, with 3 hits or less allowed on 5 separate occasions. Just an incredible season for him so far, a 1.50 ERA. So he's taking on the Mets, who absolutely stink versus left-handed pitching. They have a 1.49 batting average against lefties over the last 2 weeks. That's easily the worst in Major League Baseball. And 2 starts against them last season, he held them to under 5.5 hits in both games. Mets hitters have a 190 batting average against him and 79 combined at bats. And I love this stat here. This is a low contact pitcher, a low hard contact pitcher versus a low hard contact offense. He allows the 7th lowest hard contact percentage among all Major League Baseball starters with at least 5 starts. And the Mets have the lowest hard contact percentage versus lefties over the last month. So Ranger Suarez, under 5.5 hits allowed against the Mets. Next up, Taj Bradley. We're going to double dip on this one. I like both the over 5.5 strikeouts and over 15.5 innings pitched. I was trying to decide which one do I want to go with. I like them both a lot, so we're going to go with each. It's not a parlay. You're welcome to do that if you like. I'm going to bet them both as singles here. So double dipping on Bradley against the Red Sox tonight. I think it's a potential sneaky spot as he's looked great in limited work here in 2024. He made his season debut against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium last week. He allowed 1 earned run across 6 innings of work, 7 strikeouts in that one. So prior to that, he rehabbed in the minors where he looked absolutely fantastic. He allowed 1 earned run across 11 innings of work, 15 total strikeouts. So he comes in this game in absolute excellent form, taking on the Red Sox, who stink versus right-handed pitching, 29th in OPS versus righties over the in the month of May here with the 4th highest strikeout percentage. He faced them twice last season, 14 total strikeouts. And they're going to need some innings out of Bradley here tonight because Tampa used 6 different relief pitchers yesterday. So, and the pen has thrown 10 innings over the last 2 games. So Tampa should be eager to let Bradley pitch deep into this game unless he gets absolutely lit up or his pitch count is way out of control. You mean 15.5 outs. What did I say? If there's any confusion there, Bradley over 5.5 strikeouts and over 15.5 outs. I said innings pitched. That would be a record-setting game if he had over 15.5 innings pitched. Let's wrap things up with Javier Assad of the Cubs. We're going to go under 2.5 earned runs, a little bit of plus money, plus 105. He is in Atlanta taking on the Braves, and he is a breakout pitcher as well. He is 8-0 against this number this season with 1 earned run or less in 5 straight games. And what I like about this bet is Chicago doesn't let him pitch deep into games. Fewer than 90 pitches in 6 of his 8 starts. How often do we see our bets get completely blown up when a pitcher gets left out on the mound for too long? That's unlikely here. And you might be scared of going against the Braves. You shouldn't be. The big bad Braves aren't hitting right now. 23rd in OPS versus right-handed pitching so far in the month of May. So there you have it. 4 total bets for Major League Baseball. Some news coming out in the NFL this morning here, John. Kind of underwhelming. The Giants are going to be on Hard Knocks. I don't have a whole lot of interest there. I don't know. They're boring. What's the storylines from the Giants? Hey, guys, we didn't do anything during the offseason here. Our coach might be a sitting doc. You have Daniel Jones, who's maybe on his way out.
Who would be your dream Hard Knocks team?
Well, I think among the teams available to do it, I think the Chicago Bears were in the mix potentially. And I thought that would have been cool with Caleb Williams. They got a bunch of new faces in there. I think that would have been interesting. I think the Chargers with Harbaugh would have been interesting as well. And they usually do go for drama. I mean, it was the New York Jets last year and Aaron Rodgers' first year. So that's kind of underwhelming. And also, Jets also in the news. It's Germany's getting completely screwed here. So they announced all the international games. They gave Germany one of the worst possible games you can make. Giants and Panthers is the game in Germany this year. That has 13-6 written all over it. Now, last season in Germany, to be fair, there was a Dolphins-Chiefs game, which kind of, it was a boring game. I think the Chiefs got shut out in the second half of that game, but Germany also saw a Colts-Patriots game, which finished with a 10-6 score, one of the worst games of the season. So the German football fans are getting absolutely burned. Now, could you imagine being a person in Germany and this is your first experience watching an NFL game? All the hype around the NFL and you're like, I'm going to go check this out. And you go and it's Giants-Panthers and it's going to be a 9-3 score, for God's sakes. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Some people in the chat weighing in. Nathan Schreckengost. Maybe Schreckenghost. I know this guy. He likes Andrew Abbott over 5.5 hits allowed, -112. The D-backs have gone under. Over this number in 13 of their 16 games against left-handed starters. They're 7th in OPS and 1st in hard hit percentage versus lefties over the last 2 weeks. Yeah, I like that. The D-backs much better versus left-handed pitching. So that's probably a good look there from Nathan. Ryan Schultz agrees. Giants, Carolina, gross. Before we circle back on some of these NBA topics that you missed off the top here, John, I want you to break down this situation for us. There was a guy with some type of a parlay, and the payout was $1.7 million. And I think he hit the first couple legs. It was a futures parlay, I believe, with the final part of it being the Thunder needed to win the NBA championship. And he cashed out at, I think, $80,000. I don't know the whole story. There seems to be a lot of criticism, but break this one down for us here. This is a popular story right now in sports betting social media.
Yeah, he had a big futures parlay. I know the Rangers to win the World Series was one of them in there. So that means he had the Thunder that before the NBA season even started. So he probably had like 70-1 on the Thunder. That's about where they were in the offseason. It was 3 legs. I'm blanking on the first leg, but it was, I know Texas Rangers won the World Series was one of them. And then Thunder was the final one. It paid $1.7 million at DraftKings. When they went down 2-1, I think his cash out got over 100,000 or close to 100,000 at one point, and then it was down to 11,000. And then he kind of made up in his head that, you know, if it got to around 80,000, he was going to take it. And then when they tied the series 2-2, he posted a video of him hitting the button and taking the cash out at 80,000. So I guess my question to everyone, or my thought is would you cash out, not cash out? Would you, he did say in the thing. So you're saying people were killing him. He did say he's a single dad and he could really use the money.
Exactly.
So for me instantly that screams to me, take the cash out.
Yeah. Right?
So, but in terms of like maximizing the amount of money he could have won, you kind of got to bet your way out of it. Right. Cause the cash out is never going to be the amount you should be getting. And he could have got more if he bet his way out of it. But then you also, you have to find investors, I'm assuming, unless you have a lot of spare cash sitting around. That gets obviously a lot more complicated. It's much easier to just take the cash out. I don't know. Are you a hedge cash out guy? Like, where do you stand on that?
Well, I don't criticize the guy at all. Right. People are saying like it's like some of the betting snobs out there. It's a negative EV decision on his part. And trying like thinking about how to properly hedge things. I'm not the guy to come to for that. That type of thing puts my brain in a pretzel. It gives me it warps my mind trying to figure that out. But yeah, I don't criticize the guy at all. It's easy to sit back and kind of mock the guy for doing it. 80K is a lot of money. You can do a lot with that, especially depending on the situation you're in life. You can buy a new car and bring your family on a vacation. You can do a lot of stuff, renovations around the house. And then you also have to sit back and think, okay, did the Thunder have a realistic shot of winning the NBA Finals? There's two more series to go. They're not even out of this one. So, yeah, I won't knock the guy too much at all. Yeah. So
when the video led with I'm a single dad and this is life-changing money for my situation, I was like, take the money. like absolutely, I have no issue. At that point, my opinion, I know it's like you said, you can get higher expected value by betting your way through versus just taking cash and all that stuff, but
yeah,
that requires a lot of, he'd probably have to go to Vegas and do it in casinos as well too, and it would require a lot more. He probably could you know, maneuver to make more money, but like you said, 80,000, it was life-changing for him, so hit the button, move on type thing. I will say he got good value out of, not value, but he got the fact that he had Thunder 70-1 and they moved all the way down, that helped his cash out quite a bit, right? Where,
how much did he originally put on the bet, do you know?
100 bucks.
100 bucks. So we turn 100 bucks in the 80K.
80,000. Yeah,
and meanwhile people on their couch want to sit back there and criticize the guy because mathematically it wasn't the right decision. Meanwhile, he's going to be able to hook up his family. So yeah, no criticism from us here at Before You Bet. Speaking of criticism, I want to get you to weigh in on the Bronny James thing. Now, you know, we kick it around and we've been making fun of it a lot, saying, hey, the Hawks guaranteed to pick Bronny James first overall now. Now, that's not going to happen, but I'm thinking about it there yesterday. So he got some coverage yesterday. The combine, he did pretty good in the three-point shooting. And we saw some highlights. He had a nice little floater in the scrimmage. And I guess my whole opinion on it, John, is that if you don't like the coverage on Bronny James, you got to get over it because it's here to stay. I think it's a really interesting story. I think it's also a really cool story. And it, once again, it's one of these things, it's very easy for people to sit back and be a hater and criticize. And that's what people do here in 2024 on the internet. Now, me or you, or you people, guys watching at home, if your dad was a major influence in your field of work, you'd probably try to leverage that a little bit, don't you think? And I think he's got a nice mild-mannered approach to it. He doesn't come out. He doesn't seem like a dickhead or an arrogant prick or anything like that. He just seems like a modest player. I think he knows the position he's in is unique. He probably doesn't like being in his dad's shadow. So I'm rooting for him. Now, that said, I do agree that he's not an NBA caliber player, but what's to say, you know, he can't become one someday, maybe be a decent bench player at some point. He's only, is he 18, 19 years old?
Yeah, he was only a freshman. He only played 1 year.
Yeah, and he seemed to be in a shitty situation there at USC. So what do you think? Not necessarily, I'm not going to ask you to give you a breakdown of him as a player, but just of the situation and all the coverage he's getting.
Well, for one, I was kind of laughing because someone put on Twitter, they're like, the Lakers haven't been able to find a 3-and-D corner shooter. So LeBron made one in his house, probably making him practice corner threes because that's kind of the player he projects to be, is a 3-and-D type player. Yeah. I kind of threw on Twitter yesterday, you know, if I'm the Oklahoma City Thunder and you have whatever, 19 first round picks, whatever they have, it's an insane number. Would you not just throw one at Bronny James and you're increasing your chances of signing LeBron James, especially where they are in their window. And like you have that vacancy with Josh Giddey, that's the team. And also I think LeBron's going to, if the Pistons or someone draft him, he's going to say, don't sign it. Like you don't need the money. Obviously he doesn't need the money. He has, you know, type thing. He wants him to go to the right team. And they're a team that player development wise, they make good players. And he's also spoken highly of Mark Dagnall. I think that's a team he would let him sign with. And I mean, you have all these draft picks. Like,
why not? You have unlocked it. And yeah. Let me tell you why. And here's what is going to happen. You threw this out there the other day as well. We're saying the Suns should just wash your hands of Kevin Durant. He's bitching and complaining again. He's not happy. Well, what's a good end to his story? Trade back to OKC. They have the pieces. They have all those first overall picks, some young talent. Draft Bronny James, sign LeBron James. So you have KD, LeBron, Bronny, SGA, Chet. Talk about a super team right there. Could you imagine that in Oklahoma City?
I feel like you tried this with the Miami Heat, but that there actually probably is a path for the Thunder, which is insane. They won't do that. I think the Kevin Durant thing could happen though, but going back to the Thunder, but I don't know. Yeah. That's the team. Cause they're going to be very picky. They won't let him sign with anyone. Like if you just take him and try to get to if you just draft him with the hopes of signing LeBron James, they want him going to a team that has good player development. And to me, the Thunder fit that. So I feel like there's at least a chance, but I also don't know if LeBron James would actually sign with the Thunder if his son went
there.
Yeah.
I do think it's going to be fixed to a certain extent behind the scenes. Where right. them telling people, like, listen, Washington Wizards, don't even think about taking this guy with your 23rd yeah. pick. What you know, I know they have the second overall pick, but I don't know where else they have picks throughout the draft. But, yeah, he's going to be put in a favorable situation, and I have no problem with that. Because if my dad was a big-time media guy, sports media guy, I probably would have tried to leverage that myself and taken advantage of that. I do think people should take advantage of those situations in life. Okay, John, we're going to end it at that. Big show coming up Friday. We're going to be all over the NBA, Major League Baseball once again. NFL, the regular season schedule drops today. And you know when they do that, they end up dropping lines through all the games. So we're going to play a fun little game. We're going to go through all the week one games, take a look at the spreads, make some rapid fire picks on those. So it's going to be fun to get deep into some football again. John, so no Before You Bet tomorrow, but you do have a show tomorrow. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, we have the NBA release show, 10:30 a.m. It's me and Adam Scherher from EV Analytics. Adam gives out his picks. He went 2-1 again yesterday. He's on the streak of 2-1s, which is great. I wish all my days were 2-1. I actually trade that for a sweep. Just it's like nice to win versus like a 1-2 in a sweep. But he's had a bunch of 2-1s in a row. I think he's up around 10 units on the, we've started this about 2 months ago. So he's up around 10 units and we're going through the NBA finals. So make sure to tune in tomorrow, 10:30 a.m.
Yeah, I love a 2-1 day. It keeps you from getting too high.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, remember, you heard it here first. Kevin Durant's going to get traded back to the Thunder. Then they're going to draft Bronny. Then LeBron James is going to sign with them in free agency. Producer Mick, you're going to want to clip this so that we can rub it in people's faces when it happens here during the summer. Nick Newport Jr., you going to throw out any WNBA plays? Probably not. Going through a whole board of Major League Baseball takes so long. So I like to really just be able to focus and zone in on that. That said, though, here at Covers, we are providing incredible WNBA betting coverage. Jason Logan, if you're not following him on X, do so right now and check out the WNBA section over at covers.com. The guys are knocking it out of the park. John says Bronny to win the dunk contest. There we go. We're going to end it at that. Best of luck with all your bets. Thank you guys very much for watching. We will see you again on Friday.